folks, Steve Adubato, Mary Gamba, Lessons in Leadership. This is part of every interview we're going to be doing that you'll see is part of a series, a mini series within Lessons in Leadership called Discovery and Innovation New Jersey. We're doing cooperation with our friend Chris Palladino, New Brunswick Development Corporation, the president there. Chris, let everyone know what the heck this initiative, Discovery and Innovation in New Jersey, is. Why are we doing it, A? B, what does it have to do with the logo behind you, the helix?
So look, there's discovery, there's innovation, and then there's job creation, and there's economic growth. And without the idea, and giving the idea the place to mature, for people to collaborate, what we found in the past is that a lot of ideas that were generated in New Jersey left New Jersey, and companies were built in other parts of the country and other parts of the world. We've tried to create an environment where we can sense create collaboration amongst a wide variety of researchers and investigators, everybody from a physicist to a life scientist to a mathematician, and to create the next great companies. You know, companies have a tendency to grow where they were started. So we don't want those great ideas to leave New Jersey and to grow into companies that employ our citizens someplace else. And this is about creating an environment, creating a support system that creates the next generation of economic growth in New Jersey.
But Chris, the helix is, and how's that connected to our series, Discovery and Innovation?
Look, it's the Health and Life Science Exchange. And it is a place, it represents an investment of over $2 billion when we're finished, where people are going to work, people are going to live, and they're going to discover, they're going to collaborate. It is an ecosystem. It is not just a group of buildings. It's a place to create the types of spaces that are going to help people take their ideas and to bring them to the second and third and fourth levels of discovery.
And that's the reason for Discovery and Innovation in New Jersey. And Mary and I will be talking not just to Chris, but a whole range of other folks that are engaged in discovery and innovation in New Jersey in the world of education, higher education, healthcare, the sciences, technology, important stuff. For Chris, myself, and Mary, this is Lessons in Leadership and Discovery and Innovation right here in New Jersey. We're now joined by Dr. Thierry Klein, President of Bell Labs Solutions Research at Nokia. Good to see you, Dr. Klein.
Thank you for having me, Steve. My pleasure.
Now, help us understand this. Bell Labs, explain Bell Labs and then the Nokia connection, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bell Labs is the research part of Nokia. We actually have a 100-year history. We're celebrating 100 years of Bell Labs this year in 2025. And now through different mergers, acquisitions in the telecom industry, we are now part of Nokia, but we are the research part of Nokia. So we're looking at 1-2 generations out of Nokia's product, services, solutions, and how do we innovate for the market and the industry that Nokia is in right now, the current businesses, but also potential future business opportunities. So really thinking 2, 5, 10 years out into the future.
Okay, and in this conversation about the future, innovation, this is part of our series, Discovering Innovation in New Jersey. We're doing cooperation with the folks down at the Helix, our good friend Chris Palladino, who kicked this off. Connect, for those who don't understand the Helix in New Brunswick, connect what it is to why you and your team are there.
So we are currently in Murray Hill, New Jersey. That's the headquarters of Bell Labs. That's historically where we've been since the early 40s. That's where a lot of the great innovations, Steve, that you, I, everybody has in their pockets every day, where a lot of those great innovations have happened. But a couple of years ago, we decided that we needed to move. We needed to upgrade our facilities. We needed to be more connected to the ecosystem of partners, collaborators. And so we looked at what we would do with the campus, whether we would renovate or upgrade the current campus, or we'd go somewhere else. And then we looked quite extensively in the tri-state area. And then we found the Helix. And through the partnership with Chris Palladino, which is fantastic, we decided to move to New Brunswick starting in 2027. So we're building a brand new research facility at the Helix.
Let's do this. One of the biggest themes in innovation, discovery, innovation, is about collaboration, partnership. What does it mean in your view? And I'm a student of leadership, and collaboration is a huge part of being a good leader. Dr. Klein, help us understand. You've said that collaboration is a mindset. What does that mean?
Well, I think it's a mindset, believing that others have ideas that are better than yours. Others have ideas that complement your ideas. And the problems that we're facing today and that we want to solve through technology are very complex problems. And there's not a single person, there's not a single department, there's not a single organization that has potentially all the ideas or all the tools and the capabilities to solve that problem in the most meaningful, most disruptive, most optimal way. So we believe inside Bell Labs, we pride ourselves on being a multidisciplinary research organization. But then outside of Bell Labs, we also want that inspiration. What are the problems that we should be solving? But what are the ideas that other people have? What are the technologies and capabilities they bring? So the overall solution that we're coming up with is the best possible answer.
You know, I'm curious about this because innovators, inventors, people who discover things, we often mythologize or think of them as they're sitting in the room, they're by themselves, they have these great ideas. Steve Jobs sits down and draws something and, oh, that's it. That's right. It'll be the iPhone, meaning people do it alone. They don't, Doctor, do they?
No, I don't think they do. I think maybe you have a spark that starts with one person, but then how do you go from that initial spark, that initial idea? How do you actually create the invention? How do you take practical considerations into account? How do you build the solution that is scalable, that addresses some of the real-world complexities that you might face? I can invent something in the lab, but then the real world is more complex. I may need to tweak it. I may need to add capabilities to it. Eventually, I want to prototype it. I want to validate that it actually works. I need to put it in a real-world environment to demonstrate that I've actually solved the problem that I wanted to solve. So I think it is ultimately an ecosystem of ideas and partners. And maybe I have the spark, but maybe it's through a conversation with you that I come to that spark. So I really think you want to have an ecosystem of different people with different backgrounds, different ideas, different perspectives.
And that ecosystem, as we have had conversations with Chris Paladino about this, by the way, go on our website and look, put in Chris Paladino, previous interviews, we've talked about this. So here's what I'm really curious about, Doctor. The Helix in New Brunswick, the vision is to have all these thinkers, all these innovators, all these creative people come together. And frankly, create, produce, innovate, discover in a way that they can never do alone, as you said. But there's a human component that I'm curious about here, because AI is not going to fix or solve everything. Those who think it will, that's another story. We're dealing with human beings, so here's the question. How the heck do we fight against the temptation of ego, turf, it's mine, it's my patent, it's my name, it's my company versus we versus the AI? Am I making too much of that, Doctor?
No, I think you're right, but I think I would bring it back to what is the problem that we're trying to solve? And I think it's really...
But give us an example.
Well, I think if you want to solve the... pick any industry that we have in New Jersey, pharmaceutical, right? Or energy, or logistics, transportation... it's not just about the domain-specific knowledge, but now you're bringing communication, networking technologies in to connect all the different, say, assets in the transportation system. You're trying to bring in AI capabilities. You're trying to bring in the human factors of how people interact with the systems and machines and the digitalization we bring to these industries. So it's you come up with some ideas, but not everybody has all the capabilities. And I think it's really through experimentation, talking to people, bringing your ideas, but sometimes you have to give before you take. And I think that's also a part of the mindset that you're saying, I have something that I can contribute. I'm not necessarily expecting you to give me more back, but I'm willing to give something in. I'm sharing what my ideas are. And by being open and transparent that this is what I can contribute, let's work together. But yeah, it is challenging. Everybody will have intellectual property considerations. Everybody will have commercial considerations. But that's where I think when you're at the forefront of innovation, and research. That's when these considerations come in a little bit later. But at the beginning, you really want to think, what are the fundamental problems we want to solve of our generation? What are the big technology challenges of our generation that we need to address, whether it's in any of the industry sectors, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's in energy, in climate change,
or manufacturing. In any of the
big, or manufacturing, logistics, any of the different technology areas or industry sectors.
It does not happen alone. It cannot happen alone. And that's the whole reason why we have Dr. Klein with us and so many others talking as part of our Discovery and Innovation series in New Jersey. I want to thank the folks at the Helix for helping us do that and introducing us to folks like you, Dr. Klein. We appreciate it. All the best.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks, Steve.
I know you'll keep collaborating with other really smart people. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Vecino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Delta Dental of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA, and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ, and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media. Mary and I are pleased to be joined by Marlon Smith, who's international keynote speaker and author of the book, Living with Purpose. Marlon, great to have you with us.
Really grateful to be here, Steve. Thank you so much.
Good. We'll show the book cover and you'll describe the title, Living with Purpose. Describe it.
Yeah, Living with Purpose, 40 Days to Empowering You and Your Family. As you mentioned, I've been blessed to have given presentations in 45 states, 18 countries. And what I've come to realize is that you can come and get a motivational or leadership presentation, but what happens next? And I have an electrical engineering degree, and I realize true change is a process. And so I developed this book, 40 Days to Empowering You and Your Family, Living with Purpose, so that there's daily assignments so that we reinforce winning habits. And that's the whole purpose of the book.
It's interesting. We often get our ideas for great guests from our team. And Frank Brown, who has been our lead number one audio engineer for several decades, he's a great leader and a great friend. He told us about you and he was inspired. He was moved. My question, one of the things he just said to us before we came on, he said, Marlon has great energy and he's really positive. Here's my question for you. I've got these little stones here. One says gratitude. The other one says breathe, because when you don't breathe, apparently I dropped it. If you don't breathe, you die. I need these ridiculous stones to remind me to be positive and upbeat. But if something's bothering me, which is my neck and shoulder bother me right now, I'm in a crappy mood. Help me and millions of others who are sitting there going, so what do you mean this guy's positive and he has great energy and he's upbeat? How does that happen on a crappy day?
Well, you have to understand, my father told me when I was young, he said, Marlon, any day above ground is a great day. If you don't believe me, try missing one, okay?
Marlon, I'm laughing because Bill Deering, he's my dad, and he watches along with Steve's mom and thousands of other people. Sure. My dad says that when I call him, I'm like, hey, Dad, how you doing today? He's like, I'm on this side of the earth. I'm doing okay. So that's why I was smiling. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, no, exactly. And so you have to realize that, you know, life it's a blessing. And I understand things don't always go the way you want, but I do realize this, that it's a choice. You know, we're not we're all in the same probably era of when we were born. You remember the jukeboxes back in the day, right? You push certain numbers and a certain song would play. But what's happening is, I believe sometimes we're allowing other people's opinions, other things that happen outside of us, external, to control how we feel within. And so my whole thing is I do certain things. And like you said, Steve, I mean, yeah, that gratitude and breathe, you know, that those are reminders. Because again, in this society that we live in, there's a lot of negativity. I mean, you look at the news, I mean, 90% of the stories are negative. And that's why I appreciate your podcast, Because again, we're floating. If we float downstream, that's very easy. But in order to be positive, to be excited about life, you got to put some effort into it and swim upstream.
Attitude is a choice.
And a choice.
Oh, definitely. Attitude is a choice, right?
No matter what, no matter what's going on.
Exactly. I mean, there's 100 things I could be upset about, I could be excited about, I could be grateful, I could be angry. So really, attitude is a choice. What I'm really talking about is what you focus on becomes your reality.
Mary, jump in. Yeah, jump in because
I was going to say, Marlon, can we play this out? I would love to role play a little bit. So we all have people in our orbit that have the poor me. And Steve and I always joke because I'll just go like, wow, right? The Artie Lang from the old Howard Stern show used to
by the
go,
way,
wow.
Marlon, she has lost her empathy button.
My empathy button is gone. I'm sorry for my children. I'm sorry for my family. But my kids have told me today they're now 20 and 24, almost. I'm sorry, they're 20 and 23, almost 21 and
23, right.
24. Yeah, exactly. And they have told me that it's actually helped them though in their lives. So you're welcome. But in all seriousness, Marlon, role play this for a second. So if you're trying to talk to me, you've got this great attitude, you're really positive. Marlon, I'm just having a really crappy day. My job was really hard today. I've got a headache. My dog pooped on the floor. Like, what is there to be positive about? Like, how do you, because we're all surrounded by those people so, that you don't even want to place that call to because they're such Debbie Downers. How do you, or can you? Can you give those skills to us to help to bring out that positivity and that mindset in others?
Yes, I mean, I think the number one is asking empowering questions. Like, for your situation that you just described, I would go a little bit deeper because again, what you focus on becomes your reality. And let me be very clear, because you're right, Mary. I mean, there are a lot of people that are dealing in some very difficult challenges. And mine too. Let's not get, I'm not a robot. I've gone through a lot of challenges as well, but here's what I do realize is this. I call it breakup, breakdown, breakthrough, break free. And so I know our time is short, but let me just share this analogy. A breakup is when there's an explosion in your life. Life as you knew it will never be the same again. It could be a divorce, it could be a death in the family, it could be you get fired from your job, it could be you make an investment, it could be a health issue.
Right.
And what happens after breakup? Is breakdown. Breakdown is where you're knocked to your knees. You don't know how you're going to make it. You don't see any way out. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. Fear, anger, suicidal thoughts, depression overwhelm you. And unfortunately, many people get taken out in that state. But what I'm here to say is if you could hold on to breakthrough. And what is breakthrough? Breakthrough is when you learn some lessons. All of us right now, even our viewers who are either watching or listening, all of them, there have been times when your back's been up against the wall. There's been times when you've been knocked down. But isn't it true? When you go through those low points, that's when you grow the most. So it's almost like this, Mary. It's like an emotional roller coaster. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. But as I look back on my life, I'm very clear. It's when I've gone through the hardest, the challenging, the trials and tribulations, that's when I've grown the most because I've learned. And so it has an upward progression. So it's always an emotional roller coaster, but now I'm going upward.
I have a quick follow-up to that, though, Marlon, because I know you have worked for 23 years with Tony Robbins with the Global Youth Leadership Summit.
Yes.
Too often we hear of young adults taking their own lives and just not seeing that as an alternative. And what you're saying right now is this is a skill set that we in our generation, right, 50 and something and up, need to instill in our young adults around us. How can we do that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, let's be honest. This you and I and Steve, we did not grow up with these cell phones, right? I mean, let's be honest. And right now, our young people, they are being research studies show. I mean, social media, what they're being exposed to, nonstop. We didn't have that growing up. And so it's so important that we as parents, those of us that really have children or nieces and nephews, or we have youth mentees that we're mentoring. We've got to connect with them and we have to be able to share some strategies with them, right? I believe in journaling. I know that might be a long lost art, but here's three questions that I inspire young people to answer every night before they go to bed. Number one, what was great about today? Not what was good, what was great? There's something that was great. Number two, what did I learn today? Either I'm learning or I'm dying. And number three, what did I do today to move closer to fulfilling my dreams and my goals? Why those three questions? Because again, what you focus on becomes your reality. And I help young people understand this, and even adults, Steve. I help them understand that. I ask them, how do you have a successful life? And people say, oh, if I have money, if I have, you know, freedom, I do this. Okay, well, really, successful life really comes down to many successful years. How do you have a successful year? Many successful months. How do you have a successful month? Many successful weeks. And how do you have a successful week? Many successful days. But what's happening is life is moving so fast, we don't slow down. And so therefore, those three questions are a way for you just to say, you know, today was a good day, and to celebrate that.
By the way, as Marlon lays out these questions, Mary and I, in our leadership coaching work, talk a lot about the art of asking questions, and that the certain questions in one of our favorite books is in our Lessons in Leadership library, Change Your Questions, Change Your Life, from Dr. Mary Lee Adams. And what Marlon was just talking about was asking questions that get other young, whether it's young people, spouse, team member, whomever, get people talking, which means it seems to me, and I won't get on my seminar soapbox, if you're not asking intentional, thoughtful questions to engender a dialogue, and you're just asking, how you doing? I'm fine. How was your day? Okay. I mean, that I get why we do that, because we do that. But the
Right.
truth is, the questions you just asked, Marlon, are much more thoughtful,
Thank
much
you.
more intentional, frankly, deeper. And so the last question I have on my end, how the heck did you get to the point where you were confident enough? Because you talk a lot about self-doubt, imposter syndrome, and confidence. When the heck and how the heck did you get so confident to believe that you could be helpful to other people?
My transformation, Steve, thank you for that question, because I'll share this with you. I went to the University of Virginia. I studied electrical engineering in school. Sometimes I come home from a 3-hour lab, 2 to 5. I turn on the 6 o'clock news every single night, Charlottesville, Virginia, on the news. It was an example of a young person making an unwise choice, dropping out of school, gang banging, and so forth. Days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months, you know, different kids being profiles, different schools. And I'm sitting there, and at first my question was, wow, why won't somebody do something? That's the question I asked. And, you know, a couple months later, instead of me asking, why won't somebody do something, I asked a different question. As you were talking about the power of question, what can I do? I see your point. Yes, what can I do? Now, realize this, Steve, Mary, and all of our viewers, I'm a college junior. Just barely making it, right? I mean, I'm in electrical engineering, all right? But I said, there's got to be something. So what I did was I said, I'm going to call some of my best friends, right? And I said, I'm going to have them come over. I'm cooking dinner. Now, back then, the only meal I could cook was spaghetti. But I made a mean spaghetti, dog. I made a mean spaghetti. And so we had the boom box going, right? The music. I mean, some of our younger generation
I
don't
was
know.
going to say that you have to explain what a boombox is for our younger generation.
Right.
You got them over, you got the boombox, you got spaghetti. Go ahead. And then what do you do? You have a seminar?
No. I just, you know, after everyone ate and you turn off the music, say, hey, listen, we're positive role models. And one of my good friends said, Marlon, you know, what are you talking about? I said, well, you know, there's young people in Charlottesville, Virginia. We could be positive role models to them. And one friend said, look, Marlon, I got 18 credit hours. I don't have time. I said, look, I've got 21 credit hours this semester. What's 1 hour out of the week? Another friend said, look, Marlon, I got a part-time job. I said, I have a part-time job too. Well, out of that discussion, we formed an organization called Street Academics, and it became an official organization at UVA. It was a mentoring program. It was a turning point in my life, Steve, and that's where I understand the power of one. Once you get tapped in that you were born on purpose, that there's a mission for your life, it's not about just going to, you know, this and that. It's about you saying, you know what, I'm going to make a difference. So when I moved out to California, Silicon Valley, working at IBM, HP, a systems engineer, during my lunch break, I started going into schools talking to young people. And you know, and I know, when you're doing what you love, time flies.
That's right.
And then I just decided, I said, you know what, I'm going to resign. And when I resigned, gave up the company car, company credit card, I'm from the East Coast. All my family friends thought I had lost my mind. My grandmother called me up. She said, baby, baby, what you doing? I said, Grandma, I'm a motivational speaker. I'm motivating young people, Grandma. She said, baby, baby, you better get motivated. You better get that job back. Okay. So that's what I'm saying, Steve and Mary and all of our viewers. You were born on purpose. There's something for you to do. And I understand it's not easy, but remember this: a vision without action is just a dream. A lot of action without a vision is merely a passing of time, but a vision with action can change the world.
Hey, you know, Mary, I know Marlon's talking about purpose. Our purpose in starting this leadership journey together, Mary and I going on 26 years working together, doing these seminars, our coaching around leadership and communication, this video podcast. We went into this segment saying, okay, I guess we'll do 8 minutes with Marlon. You know, Frank has a good batting average, Frank Brown, and I think we're going on 16 minutes. We're going to also, it's my way of saying, Alvin Badger, our director, we're going all the way to the end. Mary, you get one more quick one in here.
And I know I'm so excited.
Our purpose is to bring on really smart people to help people watching to make a difference. Go ahead, Mary.
Is it impossible for those people that are watching that wake up in the morning? I always, and it's funny, I said to Steve all the time, and I feel like we're so connected, Marlon, just from hearing you speak and your energy. Every day I wake up and I'm like, oh, I don't want to get out of bed. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to be present. I'm going to be purposeful. I'm going to be intentional. So I go through my whole mentality. But is it possible, though, that you can hit that rock bottom and there's no coming back? Or is it, I mean, your attitude right now has me, you know, what am I going to do next, right? So how do you turn that switch for somebody that's watching right now and says, that's great, Marlon shot out of a cannon, that's awesome. That's sure. Not me. I don't have the energy for that.
As you answer this.
Here comes a prop, Marlon. Look out.
There's another plaque out there. It's on the... we have all kinds of things going. It's right on the
Steve
left.
Steve has a lot of plaques and things around the house.
Mary, it's the question. You got 2 minutes left. It's the question you just asked Marlon, how he does it every day. You see the one on the top of the thing? Yeah. This is a ridiculous thing. This on the third floor of our home. We have seminars. We do studio work. We do everything, right? Can you pick that up? It says make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at it and I go, hey, your neck's bothering you. You're in a crappy mood. You didn't get a good workout. Make it happen. This reminds me of not to be the baby that Mary says, wow, stop being a baby. Make it happen. what does your slogan say?
Hey, mine is my success is my choice. I take ownership for my,
Can we have Marlon here with us all day?
Come on, let's do this, y'all. Listen, this is the secret sauce for me. Okay. This is my journal. And you know, this is not, you know, this is real deal. Okay, so what I'm here to say is this: gratitude is the ultimate wealth. Life doesn't happen to you, life happens for you. And so we have to help our young people and really people all over the world, especially in these times. We've got to say, you know what? What I do matters. What I speak matters. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What I do, my thoughts, it matters. And so each one teach one. I am very intentional. Every time, it's almost like dropping a pebble in the pond and it has a ripple effect. When I'm out and I'm walking or I'm at the gas station or the store, I say hello to people. You know, that's the type of ownership. And that to me, Steve and Mary and all of our viewers, again, I want to encourage people. Those three questions that I shared, what was great about today? What did I learn today? What did I do today to move closer to fulfilling my dreams and goals? It matters. And gratitude is the ultimate wealth.
Well said. Marlon Smith, international keynote speaker, is a lot more than that.
Thank
also
you.
Author of Living a Purpose. And also thank our partner and friend and colleague, Frank Brown, for bringing you to us. Marlon, wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. And I love the blue background both you and Mary have. But you see, I'm wearing a blue sweater.
Perfect.
Okay. I want y'all to know that.
Thank you. All the best. We'll see you next time on Lessons in Leadership. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, the North Ward Center, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Delta Dental of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, showing the world what great minds can do since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.